You're listening to the Home Staging Show podcast. I'm your host, Cindy Lin. This is the show where we talk about all things real estate, home staging, and selling your home to live and to sell. Welcome back to season 4. This is episode 10. Our show is brought to you by our in-house product, EcoGel, the eco-friendly St. Joseph statue home selling kit. In real estate, there's a tradition of burying St. Joseph statues for good luck. But because all the existing products on the market were made with plastic, we made an eco-friendly version named EcoGel. He's all natural, won't harm the earth. For more information, you can visit our website at www.ecogelkits.com. That's spelled ecogelkits.com. Hey guys, welcome back to season 4 to episode 10. So on today's show, I have Michelle Finnemore on the show to talk about occupied home staging, which means you're living your home while you're selling your house. If you listened to last week's episode with Karen Otto, you'll probably realize that I asked the exact same questions for both guests, with the exception of the follow-up questions to their answers. The reason why I did this was because that both of them are in very different markets, one in Texas, United States, the other one in Toronto, Canada. So you will see how geographic areas impact their methods and their answers. While a lot of things are very similar, there are also a lot of things are very different because their markets are completely different. So Michelle's staging and design work has been featured on HGTV, Fox TV, and CBC Radio 1. Identifying the ideal client was a key factor in creating a home staging company that has attracted sellers and agents to let her moniker to being named the go-to girl when you're looking to sell your property. Recently, Michelle has been awarded RISA Top 10 Stager Canada in 2015, as well as CSP International Master Stager. So without further ado, let's start the show.
I think that's what it is. I think you just have to call me on my phone because that came through like first time, no problem. And I have no idea what's going on with my laptop. So
it could be the program is not compatible with your operating system for some reason. And then it just keeps asking you to install it, even though you already had it installed.
Yeah, because I have Windows 10, I think it is. And that's the newest one. So you would think it would all be hunky-dory. But oh, well, it isn't. So that's what it is. I love your questions, by the way. They're good. They cover all the bases. So
yeah, that's good. Thank you. Getting better at this podcasting thing.
Well, I like the way you cover it from the homeowner angle, because I'm one of those stagers that when I go in, I explain everything to them. I want their eyes bleeding and rolling back in their head, basically. Like, they have to understand this is work. It's not fun. And you got to get it done before I get back here, right? And I always have clients that comply, always. I don't have people that when I get there, you know how you read online, people are always complaining, stagers, that, you know, I got there and this is still piled up in the room and blah, 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 right? And I never have it. So I think that's great that you want to cover that. If you have mostly like a lot of homeowners listening.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. It's accidental, but now a lot of new stagers are listening to it, which is kind of a nice bonus, I guess, because I do think that, like, I think people are craving for education. So especially like interviewing you guys, where you guys are just so experienced. With the industry. So I think people find a lot of value from it. So that's really nice.
They do, because when they hear from a lot of people, what they're hearing is the hoopla, and I'm giving them, this is what you have to do. This is the nitty gritty. This is what it takes, right? I remember distinctly when I took my staging course, when we actually went out to a house that Christine had arranged for us to go to, right? It was somebody's listing, have no idea. And we had to get that house in order, right? The people had done nothing. There was three ladies right there that just said, I don't even want to do it now. I'll finish because I'm here, but I'm never going to be a stager if this is what I have to do. They didn't understand, like, you could if you wanted to, but still, who's doing all the physical work? They just didn't want to do work. They want to do consultations, right?
So yeah, exactly.
This is the difference.
Yeah, it's really...
So with me, I do mostly terrified. Sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you beautifully.
Oh,
Can
okay.
you hear me or no?
Yeah, no, but you broke up for a second. I'm just paranoid about my internet
Oh.
connection because I moved to a new apartment, but their internet's not the strongest. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I know in my office, my internet connection is horrible. And I did one for the luxury suit market people, and it was terrible. They could not, it was like sounded like a time warp on Star Trek. It was terrible.
That's funny. Time warp on Star Trek.
You know that sound?
Yeah, it does. I might have to use that in the intro. So, I actually, Karen Otto also signed up to be interview last minute because I reached out to both of you, and you guys are actually going to answer the exact same questions. I would be interested to see how different they are, or if they're the same. Probably they're different because you guys work in a very different market.
That's what I was going to say. I know I read a lot of her posts, and she has quite a different market there. And she's consistently saying all the time is that, there's not people will not pay the money there to have staging done. Well, it's sort of like that around here. Homeowners that are occupied in an occupied home, they do not want to spend a lot of money. And so they'll let me bring some things in, and most of them won't let me bring anything in, and they just borrow it or they buy it at HomeSense and take it back, right? Which I explained to them that's actually called theft.
Yeah.
I can't say that on air though, right?
You can say it. This show, we don't censor. Well,
I?
except for bad language. That we do censor.
Oh, no.
Other
I don't
than
say bad
that, you
things,
can say
like bad
anything
words.
you want. I mean, I'm not affiliated with anyone. I don't have sponsors. So you can actually say whatever you
Okay.
want to say.
Brand names, everything. Because I'll
Yeah.
tell you this today, I just went to HomeSense for 2 seconds to pick up some new pillowcases because someone, it's a purchase, it's not a rental situation. And there was a big moving truck out front and two young people that were bringing back things into HomeSense. And I mean, like everything they bought there to stage whatever house it was they were selling, right? And you can tell this is what they were doing. And I'm going, it's so bad. No wonder stagers have a bad name in the
Yeah.
because the stores hate it, just absolutely hate it. They had thousands of dollars goods one by one. They'd have to stand there and get those all back into inventory.
Yeah, it's a bit awkward process. I think they were a home staging training school actually taught stagers to do that, which was not very nice.
That's awful. Oh
But
my
that's the rumor
gosh, that's
I've
actually
heard.
theft.
Yeah, that's the rumor I've heard. But I think that
Well.
people start frowning upon it, and thanks to internet, I think it got back to them. And I think they stopped teaching their students that.
Thank God. That's awful. That's just awful. Well, I won't go into that too much, but I will. I always give my clients three options. Or you can rent it through me. So please pick one, but do pick one and let's move forward. So that's how we do
Wait, sorry, you broke up a tiny bit. So, what's the three options you give to your clients?
Okay, so the three things are I ask them to either borrow it from friends, family, or coworkers, go to buy it themselves. I let them know where to go and get it or to rent from me.
Yeah, I mean, those are really great options.
Yeah, so there's no, Generally, I have, families that help each other with, we've done 3 or 4 houses over 5 years in different towns, and it works. It really does.
Yeah, though that's great. I think that's the thing. It's just that as stagers, we have a responsibility to like really teach our clients how to do it properly and not just, go buy it at a store and then return it.
Exactly.
This is not very
Exactly.
nice, to be honest. Yeah. Okay.
Well, you'll never stop some people from doing it. As I said, here in this town, especially, and I'm going to say Karen Otto's in the same situation, but she can comment on that day.
Yeah. Okay. So, should we get started on the questions?
Okay. All right.
So, how it's been a while since we last chatted. Like, how has your market changed this year?
It's changed because our market's gone up 25% in value in 1 year. Actually,
Oh.
not in 1 year, in 8 months. So my business has changed because they're making so much money, they don't want to stage anymore.
Yeah.
They've actually they it's really changed that way. My business is down this year on the rental side because of that. Although I'm doing just as many consultations. We do 500 consultations every year.
So, what are you seeing as some of the upcoming trends for the rest of the year in 2017?
I would say upcoming trends would be for homeowners that they're losing out by not staging because yes, you're making a greater percentage on your property in the past year and a half in our area. However, you could make even more if you marketed it. So what we explained to them is the big mall in our area, a big shopping mall, very high-end mall, they still pay someone every day to coordinate those windows in the front of their stores because they're marketing their products inside. And that's exactly what home staging is. We're actually marketing your home to be seen online. And by targeting your ideal buyers, we get more feet into your property and get you a better price still.
That's amazing. That's a great way to put it. And then do you see the market slowing down in Toronto next year, or it's gonna pick back up again?
Okay, the staging market or the real estate market?
In general, probably real estate market.
General, it'll still be forging ahead in a great amount. The news is telling you that things have to level out soon, but they haven't leveled out in 17 years. So that's wishful thinking. Our interest rates are low. They're only 2%, 2.5%.
Yeah, so I'm super
So.
excited and to have you back on the show today because I know you do a ton of occupy homes and today's episode is really all about occupy homes. So can you tell me a little bit about these type of projects that you do? Like, what are some of the advantages to live in a home while you're selling? And what are some of the disadvantages and common challenges?
Okay. So the first thing we always ask is if are will they be staying in the home, living there during the first weekend when they do open houses, as soon as it hits the market. We suggest if they have another place to stay, please stay there. It just makes it easier for them, especially if they have children and pets. But if they are living there, we do give them the processes for living in a staged home. And one of those is for with children is that we do recommend they get a Rubbermaid bin, put all the kids' toys in it, let them write on it, put stickers on it, put their name on it. It's theirs. And then when you have a showing, they think it's a game. You put the timer on the microwave, you say, okay, kids, we got 2 minutes, we got to throw everything in the bins. And they go ahead and they do it. And that way they think it's a game and they're young and they go along with it. From there, if they have pets, we do recommend they do have the pets stay at someone else's house. Some people don't, and they still will have them there, and they will take them out of the house before the showing happens. We explain all the reasons why you wouldn't want to have a dog there with all the people coming through a nuisance. They're going to be barking and being alarmed and stressed, and you wouldn't want to do that to your dog, who really is one of our children that never grows up. Or they're going to pee on the floor. Something not nice is going to happen. And some people simply won't even come in the door if they hear a dog barking. So we do try to explain all these different advantages and disadvantages of living in a staged home and how we're going to plan ahead to deal with these things.
That's great. I love that. And you mentioned that you have some processes that you give it to the seller. Like, what are some other things that you give them?
Okay, some of the processes. We explain to them when they're packing up how to pack up. A lot of people don't know. They really don't. And so they get started in a room, and then 5 seconds later, they're in another room, and they go, oh, I better go put this over here. So we stop them doing we call it the Roomba, like the vacuum cleaner. Don't
I
do that.
love
We want you to stay in one room, do
it.
one whole room. You take everything, say, out of a closet, only put back in what you need for 60 days. Whatever's left, pack it, put it in your empty suitcases. We're trying to show space. That's why people are moving. They're looking for space. So we show it to them. Therefore, they put an offer in. From there, we'll explain to them that you don't stop and ask your other partner, gee, should we keep this? Don't ever ask that question. I always say there's three piles in every room. There's the one that's garbage, one that's donate, and one you're going to pack up and take to the new house. But there's the magical fourth pile. The fourth pile is every time you have to ask a question about something, don't ask it, just put it in the pile. And at the end, after you've made 4,000 decisions that day about what to pack up, you'll look at that pile and go, I don't need anything in that pile. And you'll either dispose of it or pack it.
That's very awesome. I love that. I love the Roomba analogy.
Well, you see people doing it, right? I'm going, no, stop. Stay in one room.
It's funny because I just published this episode with Bobby McGrath, and then she had
Oh,
this saying called room dandruff. You guys have the
I like her. There
funniest
you go.
sayings. I love it.
Yeah.
And so
Yeah.
what's your usual process like? Do you do a consultation to have it do it themselves, or do you come in and do everything for them?
Depends on their age. If they are of physical ability, then we actually let them know everything that needs to be packed up. So we use a roll of green painter's tape, and anything that gets a piece of green tape on it, that's to leave the room. We'll let them know what to move to another room if we think it can be used there. But that way, they're very, very clear about what's being packed up, and we leave it in writing in a consultation booklet, page by room by room for them, so there's no mistaking it. They know they can call us anytime to reconfirm. I might take, I don't know, seven phone calls in a year out of 500 consults that they are confused on something. So we're very, very clear upon our delivery, and they understand what to do.
That's amazing. And what are some of the things that homeowners should be aware of when they're living the home while the house is on the market?
What are some things they should be aware of? They need to be aware of safety first and foremost. And by that, I mean all children's pictures are put away, children's names, things like that. People have cameras on their phones, so we just explain to them it's just much easier. Many people put up, nice little arrangements of their children, and somebody comes in through and they think it's like a Pinterest display. They go click, and all of a sudden it's on their Facebook account. So we explain it to them that way so that they understand they really, really need to put their personal things away. And that includes anything with, visa numbers, things like that on it. Some people have businesses in their house, so we recommend that they have a 30, 60, 90-day box so that when people are coming through on the showings and they're still working maybe on something, they can just stick it in that box, put it in their car, they're gone, they have everything they need. And that's the process for living in a staged home and being acutely aware that you have strangers coming through your home.
I love that. So many good points, especially the business part. I think that is brilliant. Because I think, yeah, most of us have a home office nowadays, and it's really important to keep important papers away. I mean, I've gone to open houses where people left their credit card bills out.
Oh, that's not
That's
good.
very bad. Yeah, those are things very easy to swipe, and then same, especially with children. I didn't even think about Pinterest. Especially social media is so easy nowadays that health and safety is a huge issue when you're living in the house while you're selling.
That's it. And I used to work for the police many, many years ago, the provincial police here. And so basically, I saw what they were doing then. And that was in 1991. I can only imagine what goes on now on the internet. So I just basically warn everybody, please put everything away. You don't know what their settings are, and you don't know who's looking at their account. So this is why you have to really take these things into consideration.
It's a crazy world, isn't it? I grew up in a world where we didn't have social media, so a lot of things to me, I don't even think about it, but I mean, that was a brilliant point. I mean, you never know because people can pin anything or share anything on Facebook, and once it's out there on the internet, it's out there forever. So what do you generally recommend these sellers do when they're going to live in a home while they're selling their house?
Okay, first of all, for personal items in the bathroom, we want you to go to the local dollar store, buy a plastic basket that has holes in it with a handle, and each person that's old enough gets one. They put their shampoo, conditioner, razor in it, soap, whatever they're using, and it goes underneath the counter. When they get a shower in the morning, they take it with them in the shower. When they're done, they put it back underneath the counter. If they're forgetting, then at least mommy only has to pick up three handles instead of, 16 different bottles of shampoo. So that's how we do that in the bathroom. That and everybody goes, oh, that's good. So they're very happy that we shared that tip with them. As far as clothes, I suggest to everybody, most people wear 10 to 12 different outfits every week during a given season. So really, that's how you can go through your clothes quickly and decide what to keep, what not to keep, pack up the rest. As far as the kitchen, we do ask them to take their anything that looks like work off of the counter and only keep the lifestyle items. So that means, okay, well, I still need my toaster. I still need my light knife block. So you have to take the things out of your kitchen cabinets that you're not using all the time and put those there so that you have them at hand, but you don't have them on the counter when you have showings. That's basic.
Can you elaborate on what is lifestyle items?
Anything that's stainless steel, black, or a vivid color like a KitchenAid red mixer, and you have the red coffee maker and that type of thing.
Oh, that's interesting. Because I usually refer lifestyle items are like for like props, so there could be like plants and stuff like that. It's different. I think it's interesting. Everybody has different terminology for different things.
Yeah, well, we use plants and cookbooks and things like that too.
Yeah.
But of their things, that's the only thing I want them to leave of theirs on the counter.
That's really cool. What else do you ask sellers to leave behind?
I ask them to leave anything they have. Like, say they have picture frames, and there's like 16 pictures in it. You know, the IKEA thing. I always ask them, please take your family pictures out and just go to Google Images and print off like Eiffel Tower pictures and things like that, and stick those in there. It's free to do, and you're not left with a nail hole in the wall, and everything still works.
Yeah,
So
that's a
that would
great
be a
tip. Yeah, an easy, accessible artwork is always great.
that's a staging
It
hack.
is. I used to use wrapping paper as well.
Oh, that's great.
And then also at the, like, usually they do a calendar sale at the beginning, like, or maybe February or March. That's when I
Great
go
pictures.
and buy tons of calendar that are expired because a lot of them have great botanical prints. Travel posters, that kind of thing. Those are really great, easy artwork as well. So,
Exactly. So that's all good things for them to do, and it saves them money, and it's usually accessible. And that's really what it is with homeowners in an occupied home. What is accessible? What can they do? And if you make it simple, they'll do it.
exactly. And what are some of your ideas to get a home ready for open house quickly? Because I know it's very difficult to live in a stage home. It's very natural for homeowners to shift things around to accommodate their own lifestyle.
That's right. We have one right now where they have a toddler, so they asked specifically that we did not bring in a coffee table that she would fall against and hurt herself. He says, I'm going to move it out of the way for the most part, but he says, if it is there, I don't want to have any concerns. So we brought in a leather tufted, very large ottoman. She falls, she's hitting, a padded leather top kind of thing, right? So we are considerate of the families that live in the houses. From there, we asked them basically, if you're keeping what needs to be there, say if they have children. Okay, well, then you have that Rubbermaid bin. That's where everything's getting tossed in, and it goes with them. So they can go play in the park. They can go play at grandma's house. They can, be at the library, whatever. But that's how they do it. They have to have spots to put things, and that's thought about ahead of time and indicated to them, this is where you could put this when you have a showing.
Very cool. And then
Oh,
where's,
also,
oh, sorry.
I wanted to ask, was to add one thing. The elderly people, like I was saying before, if they're physically able, they can pack up themselves. We work with two different transition companies that pack up for the elderly people.
Oh, that's great. What do you mean by transition companies?
They only work, they're moving companies that work specifically with elderly people moving.
Oh, interesting. And how can
It's a
most
niche.
Yeah, it's a really good niche. So, what are some like how can homeowners find somebody like that? Is it something that they just
Oh, I
Google
give them the
for?
names. I provide them. I work
Okay.
with these people all the time, and I give them the information right there, and I ask them to please call as soon as I leave.
Yeah, because it's really different.
It is. Yeah. Well, it's $79 for two men for 2 hours. And they come in, they pack everything up. Do you need a fridge? Like today, there's a fridge and an upright fridge, an upright freezer, and a long chest freezer about, I don't know, 10 feet long that have to be moved off the main floor to the basement or in the garage. This company will do that. They'll also pack up all the boxes. They'll empty the closets. They do everything.
That's great. That's fantastic.
But my company does not do that. We are a staging company. We are not a removal company or a packing company.
I love that because I think it's difficult for stagers to do other things. There's clients like, do you clean? Do you paint? I was like, no, I don't
No.
do any of those things because I stage homes well. I just do that. But if you want me to do paint, I can
No.
hire someone to do it, but it's going to be more expensive and less like quality vintage because I'm
Less
not a
professional.
professional painter.
Yeah, I work with a painting company that has 30 painters. If I need six painters there tomorrow to paint the house in one day, they send them, period. It's done. They need a cleaning company, they send 4 to 6 people the next day or the day after. It's done. There's no issues. You just have to, that's on my license plate. I think I might have mentioned the first time. It says go to girl. That's why. Because when you want it done, just call me and it just gets done.
No, I love that about you because I think it's really important. I think that's what actually most real estate agents strive for as well. It's just the longer you're in real estate, the network needs to be pretty well established so you can refer to other professionals for their professional opinions or services, like painters and cleaners, whose job might not seem very important, but actually they are. And to do them well, it's very difficult. Like I don't
It
clean
is.
houses
I'm a
very
terrible
well.
cleaner. I'm a terrible cleaner, terrible painter. Please don't ask me to do it. Please.
Yeah, I
I
mean, if it's for
don't
my
embarrass
own
myself.
furniture, sure, but like, you know, my own room. But yeah, no, like to paint the entire house, it's exhausting. And, you know, like professional painters do it so much better. They do these like spray things that make it look
Yes.
completely
Smooth.
smooth. Yeah, not the painty
That's right.
things. Yeah, that's very cool. And then, what are some of the things buyers get put off when they tour houses that are occupied by sellers? And what can sellers do to prevent that?
The biggest thing they get put off by is rooms that they can't identify what they are. So if they're you get up to a bedroom and it's a 4-bedroom house, but the fourth bedroom has, exercise bikes in it, no bed, because you can't identify it as a bed. They can't figure out if their bed will fit or not. And no matter how big it is, they still, in their mind, it's just a junk room. The other thing would be furniture placement. It's really important for flow. And that's the part that homeowners do not understand, is you need the flow. And I speak to them from a different background. I do product photo shoots, and I used to work in a photography studio. So I'm always using my arm crossed against the other one, like as if the lens is shooting across the way. And I said, "Can you see now? Follow my hand. That's your shot." And I said, "I'm going to take a picture now on my phone and just show you what your room looks like." And then they go, "Oh, they really, really, really can't see their own home." So you have to show them physically like that. I take the time to do that. And that's how I convince them to make it buyer ready.
That's very cool. I didn't know you work in a photo studio. That's great. I have to say, having spent time working on set, it really changes the way how you see and style things as well. Because I
Exactly.
feel like you really learn how camera sees things.
That's the difference. How does the camera see it? And so the big thing is all the time, like in our area, they have a lot of shears and draperies and things. And I'm going, "Well, we're trying to actually sell the fact that you have this humongous mature tree lot." I said that the draperies, they're going to take those down as soon as they move in, because it doesn't go with their furniture. So don't show them, right? So that's how I convince them. And I said, besides, the photographers show up, they don't have a big umbrella shooting flashes into it to light up the corners of your room to make it bright. I said, "You want a light, bright home to sell it for top dollar, period. That's how you do it." I said, "When do
Exactly.
you ever see photographs in a magazine of a dark room? Very rarely. And when you do, you flip the page really fast because you don't like it."
Exactly. And so can you tell me about your process on the actual staging day? Like, what do you do as a home stager when you're staging an occupied home?
Okay, so I asked them to make sure all their personal things are put away, and that includes the things in the shower and the bathrooms, their bedrooms, all those things. I said, if they are left out, they will go into the nearest drawer, whatever's nearest. I said, "Don't ask me for a list afterwards. I don't provide it." I just
I
tell them right away,
love
"You
it.
need to take care of this." So don't let people put their responsibilities onto your shoulders. You have to be very clear where the line is drawn. And so when I arrive, I don't have issues with people. I arrive, I put my mat down, everything is brought in, it's unpacked, and the bins go into the kitchen. They unpack them on the counter, so we get all our decor accessories out. The furniture people come right in, put the furniture. I'm directing them into each room. From there, we start hanging artwork, and the bedding is pressed if we have to do that. And that's it, we're done. We can do typically, 3,000 square foot house in about 3 hours. It's very much a, check, check, check process. That's when it's vacant. When it's occupied, mostly what we're coming back to do is what we call a facing for the photographer, which means I'm coming in and making sure everything is faced the right direction for the photographer. And so we're going through the work that they've done and making sure that things are in the right spot. If they've hired us to rent things from us, like hanging pictures, supplying the pictures, a few decor accessories, accent cushions, we bring those in at that time. And we do that in the morning at usually 9:30, and the photographer is always booked for one or two.
Amazing, you're a machine. Oh my
Yeah.
God.
We are always done by 1 or 1:30, and photography is latest as 2 o'clock, and we're never late, never not done.
When you say we, how many people is that?
Okay, if it's just where I'm going in, like the people have done all the work and I'm just taking a couple pictures, I do it by myself. But if we have houses where, okay, yeah, we need to bring a bedroom set in, we need a dining room set, we need to hang 10 pieces of artwork, I have a assistant that helps me with that.
I feel like you'll be really great on a reality show where they have to time you to do challenges because you're just like a machine.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's just everything is a process, right? That's how you make money. So
Yeah.
I don't understand how jobs take all day, but then again, I do because it's the difference between just for an example, going into a restaurant where they have a very specific chef line, sous chef line. Everybody does something on that sous line, and the dinner goes out perfectly cooked every single time. Like we go to a steak place like that, and they can do something like, I don't know, 2,000 steaks every night because they have a grill set up that actually moves the steaks along, and they're grilled to perfection, and they're taken off at different points if they want medium or well done or whatever. And it's like that.
Yeah, it's really all about systems and processes. So I
Systems and
want to,
process.
yeah, exactly. And so I want to ask a little bit more about your staging process. Because I remember when I took the, remember Iris back in the day before they
Yes.
died? So I took a course with their trainer, and then what they did was they would take all the decorative accessories down. They'll work with the furniture first, and then they start shopping from the pile of stuff that the homeowners have. Do you go through a similar process when you're staging
No,
occupants?
not at
No.
all. Now, when I'm going through the rooms of the initial consultation, I'm putting in one small area on the top of a dresser or on top of a table. These are the accessories I want you to keep. Or today I was in a living room, I put them all on the mantelpiece. Keep these, everything else pack. That's it.
Cool. And then so when you show up again, you already know what you want to do, and you just boom, boom, boom,
Yes.
do it.
I just do it.
That's great. And then, so we covered this already on the question, but so you move inventory as well to fill in what's needed.
I don't move big pieces of furniture. If they're there and they can move it, fine. If the, say, a sofa's there and you need to move the chair and there's pads under it, sure, I'll do that. But I'm not there to physically work when I'm on a consultation. I draw a floor plan for them. I will, as I say, scoot a couple things over here. Like if you're on a bedroom dresser and they have it just filled with stuff, I'll pick up the mirror that has the six bottles of perfume on it and say, keep that. Everything else on top of here, please put it away.
But if they're missing, say like for their dining room, they've been using as a playpen for their kids, they don't have an actual dining set, do you actually rent them the furniture for that as
Oh
well?
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
That happens
And
a
we
lot,
design the look.
actually. Yeah, people will be
Oh yeah,
surprised.
that very common, isn't it, Cindy, that they have the children, that's a children's playroom now rather than a dining room. I agree,
Which is
100%.
kind of funny to me because I grew up playing in the yard in the dirt.
I know. Isn't it crazy? I know. They wonder why kids are so sick all the time. They say, like my mother always said, you have to eat a pound of dirt by the time you're five, which meant get outside and play, right? Kids put everything in their mouth. You build up your immunity doing
Oh, yeah, I don't want to think about that. But yeah, I don't think we had such a
that.
big play
Grew up on a
area
farm.
when we were kids. I think we played in the bedroom. That was pretty much it. Yeah.
Yeah. It had to be raining or really snowing if you were playing in your bedroom. Then you made forts, right?
Yeah, I
Between the beds.
remember. I actually love cleaning day because my grandmother would turn all the sofa upside down and then pile them in the corner so she can clean the floor. And I loved it because it was like instant fort done with all
Instant
the,
fort, that's right. I
yeah,
know.
it
It's
was the
crazy.
best thing ever. Well, not so much fun for my mom and the adults, but it was great for me.
It was an opportunity for you, creative person.
Exactly. And what do you wish homeowners know before you come over to stage your house?
What do I wish they know? I wish them to know that I will put their mind at ease. I quite often get somewhere and they'll say afterwards, I was so afraid for you to come. And I think that's why we don't get called sometimes as stagers, is we have to train our agents well, so they explain to them that the reason we bring Michelle in or their stager, whoever it is because she has a plan for you, a very concise plan, a very effective plan, in that you know exactly what to do. There's no mystery. Michelle will put all your fears to rest. Everything will go well. Everything always turns out when we use Michelle as our staging advisor. So that's
Yeah.
what I wish them for to know. That's the biggest thing, is it's the fear factor you have to get over.
I know. I mean, yeah, I think there's so many horror stories out there. People are afraid to get burned. A lot of
unfortunately.
stagers do it, even here, where they take everything out of the house. Please move all your stuff out, or else I'm not staging it. They can't see to use what they have. I stage many houses here that still have the original stuff from the 60s, and we make it look good. Believe me, we do. And the homeowners just can't believe how good the house looks after we're done. But it has been styled, right? It just happens to be
Yeah.
mid-century. It just doesn't happen to be
Mid-century's
modern, that's
great.
all.
Mid-century's in. I mean, that's like all the
Is.
rage. I live in London
Yeah.
for a moment. People still love mid-century here. I mean, there's like a flea market every weekend, like in every
Yes, it's
neighborhood.
great there. Yeah.
Yeah,
So we try
exactly.
the sentence or the idea we try to get across the agents is you're supposed to say to them, Michelle is the queen of making something from nothing. So you might think that this is like a piece of garbage. You want to get it rid of your house. You think Michelle's going to tell you to take that out first. And I'm here to tell you. She'll probably tell you, nope, she's going to put it right over here and it's going to be the focal point in the room. So that's what happens.
Yeah, I think there is this misconception in the sense that people feel like when you stage a house, everything has to be super new and super updated. But I have worked with homeowners who are seniors. I mean, physically, there's no way we could just move everything out and move everything back in again. You just have to use what they have.
Actually, if you
Yeah.
go to my blog, just put my name in michellefinnamore.com, and I think the last story I did was here was something we found out in the shed and we used it and it was great. And wait till you see that picture.
So, if a homeowner wants to put their home on the market while they're living in it, how early should they start the prepping process and what should they do to get started?
Okay, if it's completely stuffed with things, which we run into that here, most people have enough stuff in their house for three houses, not for one. So I tell them 3 weeks when I see it like that.
3 weeks, and you think
Because
that's enough? If
3 weeks,
both
but
work
that's
full
mostly because
time, you think 3 weeks
if
is
they both
enough?
work full time and they're hiring somebody to, like, if they think they're going to want to sell things, I try to explain to them they're not going to get much money for things. It might not be worth it. It's better to donate and get a tax receipt. And so the issue is you have to be able to get the transition companies that come in and pack things up for you. You have to get into their schedule. So they're booked up a week to 10 days in advance. So they're not coming the next day at all.
And what do you do with homeowners who, when you show up, didn't do anything you've asked? Do you just tell them to
No, that doesn't
reschedule?
happen. That
Oh,
doesn't happen. It's
awesome.
never happened in 10 years. Never in 10 years.
What is your trick for that not happening? Because I've heard stagers just having issues with that all the time.
Because they're not. I have the mum look. I don't know if you know what that is. You know what that is, right? You know when your mom gives you the look, like this is how it's going to happen, and this is what you're going to do. They're not allowed not to have it done.
Have a similar look, but because I'm not a mom, so it's not a mom look.
Yes. Yeah, they know I'm they what I get back from people is I'm all business, and I actually had an agent last week say to me, could you be a little less mechanical when you're with this particular client because she's a very touchy-feely kind of person and I need you to actually get her to do stuff. So of course I adjusted how I spoke during that consultation.
Yeah, I think as professionals you do have to read the client a little bit. Especially I had a client who was a hoarder. That was a very interesting process to try to get the house packed.
Well,
But you have to talk to
the
them.
worst one I did was, well, they were, this was three stories of hoarding, and I mean truly, truly, truly hoarding, and that one took 3 weeks. That's how I know the worst possible house takes 3 weeks.
That's great. I love that. So that's your parameter, basically. You're like, the worst case scenario is 3 weeks, so you should be able to get it
Yes.
done.
Yes, this I just go through and I tell them I know right now this is going to take if I me and my assistant were here this would take 200 minutes because I count 20 minutes per room, 10 rooms, 200 minutes. So I said when so my thing is how are you going to get that done? Do you have all of Saturday and Sunday to do it? Do you have a few hours one night? Do you have 1 hour each night? When that whatever that is, that's when you're going to be ready. And they go, you can see the light bulb go on in their head.
Yeah, I think because of the way you frame it, I think most people, when they think about packing up the entire house, they're just like, I can't do that. But if you say, like,
Yeah,
it's 20 minutes a room, they're like, oh, I can do that. That's fine.
I should send you the picture of what I use of my cat, what it looks like when I'm gonna do that for you. I have a picture in my
Yeah.
PowerPoint presentation, and it's two pictures of cats. One is a cat hiding under a piece of newspaper over its head, and it's looking really scared. And the other one is a cat, you know, when they just stretch right out on the carpet. It looks like that. And I said, and this is how you're gonna feel when you're done preparing your house before I get here. That's kind of how I feel every time tax season comes around. I'll be like,
Yes.
ugh.
Like, same thing. So I've used that one since I started 10 years ago. That's hilarious. But they laugh when they see it, so.
But it's true. Like, because when you tell homeowners certain things, they just get that look in their eyes. And you know, it's like sheer fear. It's just like that cat. They
So
just want to hide.
I usually put my hand on their shoulder when we're done. I'm going, "Do you need a glass of wine now?" And then they laugh, right? I go, "It's okay." I said, "It's even better if you have a glass of wine while you're doing all the packing up."
Yes, and some chocolate.
You have to read your client again well when you're doing that, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So what do you find challenging when it comes to doing occupy homes?
I find challenging occupied homes when the people have gone into a home or unfortunately passed away. Their children cannot agree on things. Four or five children, and they're all wanting to say something else. And of course, all the old rivalries come to the surface. That would be my most challenging one, but I do get them all to cooperate. So,
That's great.
but that would be my only challenge.
Is
Yeah.
there a trick to how do you get them to all cooperate?
I explain to them that if you can't decide this tonight, then you need to pack everything up, just period, that isn't being used, and take it to a unit, and then you guys decide later. But I said, I need it out of here by now because your agent wants the house listed on Wednesday.
Great. That's fabulous. It's a yeah, you have to give
I
them
just talk to them
pressure.
like I'm a police officer. I am the law.
You are. I love it. You are a machine. You're like my hero. That's crazy.
Okay, so I think I found the secret to us having a good telephone conversation. I need to be in the rear side of my house, so that's good.
Oh, yeah, I was like, this is amazing. We haven't broken up. I was just like, because I've been trying to keep perfectly still. I was just like, maybe it's my internet connection, so I'm like
No.
not moving.
I'm going to say it's me today, so I'm going to be in the rear part of my house. Now, the thing is, when you do this recording, what day is that going to be on?
It's your show is probably gonna go on the 21st. So
Okay,
2 weeks from now.
21st is the day you're going to call me, right? Okay. Correct?
Wait, what show?
Okay, no. When you call me to do this, or have we just done it? Are we done?
No, yeah, we're almost done. We're recording. We've been recording.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, sorry.
Wait, you thought this is
Okay.
a practice run? You're doing amazing
Yeah.
for a practice run.
That's too funny. Yeah, I thought it was practice run. Sorry about
No,
that.
it's great. I mean, we can get this
Okay.
done and then you're
Okay.
done. Like, yeah, it's amazing. That's so
That's good. Thank you,
funny.
Cindy.
No, I mean, I was so impressed. I was like, oh my God, because most speakers want a couple of days to kind of like look through things and think about it. And then
Oh,
you're
yeah.
like, you just like got it 10 minutes beforehand and you're like, you are a machine. Oh my gosh. You need to have a television show. People, I bet people will watch it.
Oh, wouldn't that be funny if I did? I just actually did work for a girl called Lisa in the city. She's an agent and she does have a show. And she had
Oh,
a
I'm
stager working
interviewing
with
her
her.
tomorrow.
Oh, yeah? Oh,
Yeah, she
okay.
was on
You're
HGTV.
really.
She was on our first episode of season 3, like last season. Lisa is great. Lisa's fantastic. Her episode was also really good. We talk about specifically about buyers, like how to appeal the house to the buyers. And
Yeah.
she really brought a lot of great experience that she had on the show into the episode. And she had a really great way of breaking things down. That makes it really digestible and really approachable, which I really like. And she's also like a straight shooter, which I obviously really like because I'm just like that. And she's like very happy, very
Oh
professional,
yeah,
like super
bubbly, yeah.
bubbly. Like she's just amazing.
Great
I
smile.
love her. She's great. And she just had a
Yeah.
baby as well, so
Yeah, she did. You did. Yeah, that's right. She did
yeah.
maybe 3 months ago, something like that. Yeah, well,
Because
I'll
when
say
we
hello for
interview
you.
her, I think she just found out she's pregnant, and then now she just
Okay.
had a baby. So
Yeah,
it's
she
pretty
did.
cool. That's awesome. So let me
Okay.
see. Where are we on the questions? Oh, so your
Okay.
homeowner wants to stage the home themselves. What would you recommend them to do?
First and foremost, pack up everything that doesn't need to be in a room. So what I ask them is to look at their room. It's a dining room. That means there should be a table, 6 to 8 chairs, a buffet, a piece of art over it, something decorative on the buffet and on the table. That's it. Anything else that's sitting in the room, take it out. So if they can please think like that in each room, if it's a bedroom, there should be this. If it's a living room, it should be this. That's how you decide.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Because with sellers, they're really familiar with their own house, but the buyers are not at all. So I think you really need
Exactly.
to show the original purpose of the room, no matter what it
Exactly.
was. If it was a dining room, it needs to go back to being a dining room, especially online too. It's very confusing when you're looking at something that looks
Yes.
like a dining room, but it's actually a child's playroom. That's when buyers
Right.
get confused. They'll just be like, oh, they have no dining room. The house must be really small. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And if you have to put your kids' toys in here and do all this and have a desk in here too, that really means there's no room in the house. And that's not what buyers are looking for. They're looking for space. That's why they're moving. They're either moving because they need more space, they're moving because they are downsizing and they're wondering where the heck they're going to put all their stuff. They can't imagine if your house is too full when they're looking.
Yeah. And so how can homeowners keep up with the staging while their houses are on the market?
How can they keep up the staged look?
Yeah.
Ideally, they've packed up most everything, so all they're having to do is put away their personal things each day.
That's a really good point. And then having a caddy really helps as well, just to
Yes.
shove everything in the bin and put it under the sink.
Baskets and bins are our secret weapon when it comes to these kinds of things, as we even in the laundry room, like you have a basket or a bin, and that's where all the soaps and things go into. If you don't have room in your cabinets, at least there's just one, we call it one face instead of multiple faces of eight things of,
Yeah.
soaps in the laundry room. So you create one face.
That's a really good way to point it. And I also love having a basket or a caddy. It really helps to keep things very organized and neat because buyers always open drawers. It just
Well, that's a good point because
nature.
what we
Yeah.
suggest they do is in a bathroom vanity, say, we suggest they do get a rectangle basket. It can be decorative or plastic, doesn't matter. That's where everything goes in. And then when you open the door, you just simply pull the basket towards you, like it is a drawer, pull out what you want. Everything doesn't fall over, and you push it back in. And they go, oh. And then when I hear from them in the new house, they go, I'm still doing that. I can't believe how easy it is. And it doesn't cost as much as those fancy,
Yeah,
parts that you put inside a cabinet to do.
exactly. You can get one from IKEA that looks great, or HomeGoods. I love HomeGoods basket
Exactly.
actually, and Target has really good ones now as well. So
Mm-hmm.
those are really good tricks and also keep the house organized.
Exactly.
And so, how about if we talk about this earlier, but do you have any more additional tips if sellers have kids or pets? Like, what are some of the additional tips that you may have for them?
Okay, I do provide people with pets a doggy daycare and pet daycare in their near to their area. So if they don't
Oh,
have
cool.
anyone to leave the pets with, I've already checked them out and hopefully it works out for them. With children, the biggest one is simply having that Rubbermaid bin for them to use. They keep that with them because when it does work during the showings, but it also works for the day that you're moving out. It already is their bin. It's their whole world in one little spot. And you put their pajamas in there, their cereal bowl for the next day, their cereal, the spoon, their toothbrush, everything they need, toothpaste. When they wake up the next day and they're in a strange home, this little bin is their whole world and they feel comfortable and they're not so stressed. They know just to go there and everything that they want is in there right away. And so it makes mommy and daddy's day a whole lot easier that next morning too.
Yeah, and I also love that you brought up the point earlier where you may get a game for the kids, and then when they participate in it, they feel fun about it, then it won't be as
That's
much of a chore for them.
right. It is. And we do have teenagers that don't want to move and they're very upset with their parents that they're selling the house, taking them away from their school and from their friends, things like that. So we ask them if they will please keep their room neat and tidy, that they get a reward at the end of the month, right? So whether it's a concert they want to go to or a movie, whatever that thing is that they might want, it might be a piece of clothing. Also, what I tell the buyers when they have, say, they're downsizing, they have empty rooms, I say, we have to make this look younger because the people that are moving, their children are very unhappy that they're moving. They'll tell their parents, you can't make me move. They make it very difficult for them. The parents may love the house, but the child's crying and making a scene, so they end up just leaving your house. So if you can put something in that room to appeal to that child, whether it's a movie poster about princesses, whatever it might be, whatever theme we go with, that's how we get the ideal target buyer to make that decision. Yeah, this is the house for me. That kid's saying to their mother, fine, this is what I if we're going to buy a house and move, then fine, I want this bedroom. And then your house is sold because the kid's given it the blessing.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think it's so important to involve your kids. They're part of the family as well.
Yes.
Especially, I think younger kids don't understand, but older kids might have resistance. So it's really important to
Yes.
recruit them.
That's right. So wait, it's a great recruiting program to do it this way, and it seems to work. I don't have too many families report back to me that they still have an uncooperative child once they get into the groove of it. So that's good. Anything I can do to help.
That's great. And do you have any favorite styling tips that you want to share?
Favorite styling tips. Okay. One of them would be hanging artwork at the correct height. So I always draw a hanging art diagram for them in their consultation booklet. And that is, you measure from the floor 60 inches up the wall. That is the center of any picture that you're going to hang. And all of a sudden, suddenly, the whole house looks pulled together just by you putting your artwork at the right height.
Isn't that fascinating?
It's amazing. It just happens. Like people just go, I can't believe how much better it looks. And it is. That's what it is. Most people hang it too high because, of course, they're either a tall person or they have children and they're afraid they're going to hit their head on it or reach up and grab it. But you can't leave it like that when you're staging.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with how the room feels in terms of scale and balance. And that's why artwork's really important. If you have a little itty bitty piece of artwork on a really big wall, you're gonna make the room feel out of balance. And that's why
Exactly.
tweaking the artwork can make a huge difference for any room.
That's right. And most people here in our area are so afraid to buy artwork because they're, what will their family say or their friends say? So I always explain to them, okay, we're just going to bring ours and do it, and then there's no ownership of it for you. And that way you can your house will be styled and it will be sold, and then you can just go on. And if you want to buy pieces from us, if you really like them, that's fine too. But this is how we generally do it.
I find that really fascinating because I've worked with first-time homeowners as well when they're selling their house, and I notice that young couples, like, they're really scared of their walls. Like, you go in, there's basically
Yes.
no artwork, it's just wedding pictures.
None. I know, just none. There's none. And I'm going, any artwork is right as long as you feel something when you look at it. It either makes you smile, it makes you remember something, then it's the right piece of artwork. It doesn't matter what anyone else says. So that's a tip that I give to my homeowners all the time. It's a really, really important one. Other than that, it is their accessories have to be in scale to the room. Most people have things that are far too small. But then, of course, we also run into my one job that had a 10-foot stuffed giraffe in every room. So that's not good either.
That's very interesting.
And
And then, do you have a favorite
it was in their
prop?
living room. Like, it was in the living room. It really was. It was only a one man, single man adult there, and that's what was in his living room. He was a comedian, though, a professional comedian. But I said, no, it has to go.
That's pretty funny. People have the most interesting collections. I know.
Sorry, say it again.
No, I think people have like the most interesting collections, especially single men. I remember I went to this client's house. He was single as well. He's like a very long time bachelor. And you open up his closet, there's no clothes in it, but there are like hundreds and thousands of Legos in them, like in
Yeah.
neat little storage
Container.
bins, because that was his collection. He collected Legos.
There you go. So that's what we do. And I always explain to them, you took this lovely trip to Mexico, and I know you love it. You love the colors, all that kind of stuff. I said, but people who live in Mexico, their houses don't look like this. So that's why you have to
Yeah.
put it away.
Well, I
You
know
have
some
to put it away.
people, you would be surprised. Like, people play with your things during open house. They look at them, they touch them. Sometimes not even
Yes.
adults. I mean, they have kids, but the adults are distracted, so the kids are playing with your things. Or there are
Yes.
people who are
This is how I describe
collectors.
it too. I
Yeah.
always say them, two adults come to look at the buy the house. They have maybe their parents with them. They maybe have two kids, and they have the realtor. That's seven people going, moving through your home. Can you picture it now why we can't have anything on the half wall in the foyer? Can you picture now why we can't have all these little small things everywhere? They just, we just don't want to take a chance with your special belongings.
Exactly. I had this favorite Pottery Barn throw that I use all the time, and I got really upset once because we went to the stage house and a kid stuck a piece of gum in it.
Oh,
Not only she did that, she braided her hair into the throw. She
Oh, my
somehow
God.
got like like this like for throws like at the end the tussles that usually like knot it. So she unknotted all of them. I mean, their parents must be in that house forever because she
Yeah,
somehow
that takes time.
unbraided all of them, and she braided her hair on back, like her own hair back in. And because her hair was
Create a
blonde,
child.
so I was like, what is this thing? And I realized it was human hair. I was like, ew.
Well, there's just another thing. We try not to scare homeowners on the consultation with stories that intimate, because we've all experienced them as stagers, because then we don't want them not to sell their house. So we don't want to go into too in-depth and things like that. But I do like to use the example of, look at all the people that might be coming through at once, and we don't need like your special things left out that are collectibles, things like that, because we just don't want anything to happen to them. Definitely. Once you put it and phrase it like that, they nod and they go, okay, yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah, that's why we don't, But clients should know. I think some of these things are kind of horrible. When I was a real estate agent for a minute, they actually talk about it in meetings. Like, people steal things from, like, open house, like medication especially. Mm. There are people who just come to open house and raid your medicine cabinets.
They're there for a purpose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
exactly.
You have to be very aware when you're selling while you're living in the home. Health and safety usually comes number one, no matter what happens.
This is it. And people all say, oh, no, I've told my agent I don't want to have any open houses. It doesn't matter. You should still put your personal things away. We caution everyone. It's entirely up to you. It's your own home, but we do caution you.
Yeah, exactly. On a lighter subject, what are some of the favorite props you use all the time, and why are they your favorite?
Okay, my favorite props would be, I have a series of white horses that I use. We live in an area just north of us is what's called known as horse country, King Township. And so I use a lot of horses up there. People really love them and appreciate them. The buyers are generally interested in horses as well. So it's a very well-received prop and accessory up there. My very favorite things are, of course, my artwork. I'm known for my artwork. I have very large pieces because we have extremely large homes here, and we also have condos with large walls. So I have over 400 rental pieces of artwork, and I love art. I think it makes a house. Every house has a soul and a character, and my artwork I'll bring will help show that to buyers, especially when they're looking online.
Yeah, great. Artwork really makes the room. I mean, it can create such an impact. So I love that. Yeah.
And that's how you brand yourself.
Yeah, and I love the white horses as well. So do you basically put white horses in every home you stage?
I try to, and I'll put like two or three on a dining room table. They're all different, but they're all white. Or I'll do two white horses as bookends and put a big bowl of white hydrangeas in the center. Like, I definitely, people know it's my work because of the horses.
That's awesome. It's basically your signature. I just have one last question. So what is your one tip for home sellers who are going to sell their house while living in it?
The one tip, don't be there when the buyers show up.
Oh, so good.
They want to envision themselves there, not you. And you think that you're saying something entirely innocent, and they take it entirely the wrong way.
Yeah, that's actually real estate agents' biggest fear, is when sellers stay during open house.
Yes, it's the biggest mistake you can make. You should not be there.
Yeah, because it just, no matter what you say that you think is coming across charming or truthful, like, you never know. You never know how the buyers would take it.
No, it's like you went to eat a steak dinner, and the cow's brother cow is standing there going, oh, so how's my brother taste?
Oh my God.
You would never do that. So don't be there.
Yeah. And people also don't want to think, they know they're buying a secondhand house, but they don't want to know who owns it before them. That's just human nature.
No.
So don't ever be at an open house.
Don't ever be anywhere near the house. No, none.
Yeah. So, oh my God, thank you so much for doing the show at such notice with all the technical difficulties. Oh my God. You're such a trooper.
We're good.
Amazing. So that's it for today's show. Thank you so much for listening. So I normally edit out most of the chit chat when the guests come on, but there's this part I thought it would be very beneficial for those of you who are new to home staging industry or just started your home staging business. So there's a little bit extra about pricing objections and upholding your professional policy after the outro, if you like to listen to it. If you haven't left a review on iTunes, please do so. I don't generate any income or sponsorship for the podcast right now, and it's really time-consuming to do interviews and do edits and show notes for the show. So if you enjoy the show, please do leave a review. It's going to really help me establish credibility when I reach out to guests. It also encourages me to keep going. As usual, feel free to ask any questions on the show notes or in our private Facebook group. You can find the show notes by going to www.stagemore.com/podcast. That's it. Have a fantastic week and happy staging.
It's a different world out there, but it's still like I never look for business. It always just comes in. And, you know, this week has been really weird. The SEO must have changed or something because I've got like, I don't know, 11 phone calls from people I've never heard of before from brokerages that aren't big brands. And they just want to know price. And I said, well, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to think I'm too expensive. So I said, here's the price. So now you can tell me you don't want to do it because I just don't have time for people like that. Right. I'm going, you know, I said, I always say to them, have you looked at my work on my blog? I said, because that's what you're going to get if you hire me. I said, I'm not the cheapest person out there and I never will be. And, you know, if you want it done to an exceptional level, then that I'm the person for you.
Yeah. Cause you're the top 1%. You define the top 1%. So yeah. That's kind of crazy. I also think that because you've been in business for such a long time, you're basically, you're probably purely referral and old clients at this point.
Oh yeah. No, it's only referral. I don't do anything to advertise. Nothing.
Yeah.
I put a few pictures once in a while on Facebook of stuff I've done, but I'll go months where I don't post a thing.
So, yeah. And that's the advantage, like having been in the industry long enough. It just, people don't, people just know, like they know you're reliable. That's why trust building is so important. And
it's the most important.
Yeah. And I really am a strong advocate of that. I just really think you need to start your business right, like build a really solid foundation. I recently wrote this course about how to start your own like staging business, because I get so many inquiries. I'm just like, I can't possibly answer the same question anymore. So I just put it all in the course. But that was something I really drove in, because I really think you really need to establish a really great foundation. And that's a really ethical business practice. And that has a very strong professional policies, because otherwise you can't survive in industry.
Because if you're not asking why, how do you handle the objection? Because you don't know what the objection is.
Exactly. And I've done a bit of research on pricing rejection for my own purpose and also working on this course. Actually, one of the great things to do is exactly what you did. Ask them why. Why would you want a pricing reduction? Or why do you feel this objection about my professional policy? Because it's important to know where clients are coming from. If they're just be like, I just want to ask to see if I can get a discount, then you know, no, you're not getting a discount. But if they're legitimate, if they're legitimate concerns, then you as a professional, you can work with clients about that. So
that's right. You want to answer those legitimate concerns. Exactly. Because I always end off my proposal with, this is our first time working together. I want you to be entirely comfortable with the staging process that we work through. And if you have any questions or concerns, I want you to call me at this number. And so that's how I do it.
Exactly. I love that. I just love interviewing another stager and listen to their processes. Everybody does things differently. Everybody runs business differently, but it's so important to learn from each other. And that's why I actually really like doing these podcasts, because I think it's really fascinating to talk to everybody. I'm no expert in anything,
I still learn. So, you know, all the time. And I've been a professional salesperson for 30 years and I still learn from everybody. Yeah. Don't be afraid to ask, right?
Exactly.